Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Patterson on the Web, Frontline News. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We want to thank you all for tuning in to Patterson on the Web, to an exciting show that we have tonight. Tonight's show is about Patterson City Council hires aides worth $250,000 a year. Our special guest on tonight is political strategist. He has done a lot of undergrad work and is working on his doctorate degree in public policy, urban studies, and now he's seeking his doctorate in higher education. I'm proud to have on my show tonight a very dear friend of mine. He's an American patriot. He's a conservative. His name is Mallory Earle. And we're going to discuss briefly about the impact or the need for aides in the city of Patterson and what I believe is a misuse of taxpayers' funds at this time, where those funds could have been used to go towards the opioid crisis in Patterson, homelessness, mental health, recreational facilities and programs for our children and seniors. And I think that money could have went to increase the better quality of life for our residents. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to the panel, to the show, Mallory Earle. Welcome, sir.
Greetings. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm concerned briefly about a news article I read today that the murder rate in Patterson has dramatically increased, but crime has dropped 5%. I find that to be an oxymoron. The crime in Patterson has not decreased. They must be fudging the numbers. And it's very disheartening. As you know and I know, we are in the hood, so to speak. We know the pulse of the people. And my personal opinion is they're struggling, and I don't believe that this administration in the city is doing the best they can to not only increase the quality of life, but uplift our children and the people in this community. What say you about the aides that the city council has put in place to assist them with, I am not sure, and I say that very humbly, because as I watch the city council meeting, and I'm doing a show next week on does this Patterson City Council members know Robert's Rules of Orders, I'm concerned about the council, their lack of understanding of their role or responsibility under the Faulkner Act Plan B, and for them to bring in aides. I personally think at this point the council has not demonstrated the need. What do you think about that?
Well, I want to go back to one thing that you mentioned as far as the crime rate. And you said fudging the numbers. I have a lot of officers that are my friends. So when I say this, I'm not speaking about the majority. But we have seen through the arrests that have been made recently, there were crimes that were either under reported or not reported at all. And those funds that were taken in those instances now are coming back to bite those officers in the eye. Now, to the aides. Having a master's in public administration affords me a lot of insight from the taught position. Working in politics on the grassroots side, give me another view. And you're right, there are a lot of council members, not just in Patterson, but in other cities as well, that don't understand the role of a council member. And you can tell that when you pick up their literature, and you can tell that they think they're running for mayor or for an administrative position and not for a legislative position. And then once they're elected by popularity into those seats, then they're lost and don't know what to do. And I've known several of them that ended up happened to be schooled at, say, County Community College and other places just to get up to speed. Now, mind you, while they're getting up to speed, they're getting up to speed on taxpayer dollars. So those dollars are then affording them time to get up to speed while legislation that is needed to improve the quality of life is not passed. And many of them that do come in don't know how to form policy in order to get legislation going. If you have aides that can help to, I guess, say it, make that problem a little less than what it is. I know if someone told me, well, they have secretaries. That's true. They do have secretaries, and the secretaries are usually there for a while. And by civil service, secretaries are not one that focuses on policy, policy creation, or legislation. If they are doing that job, then by right, the city owes them a lot of back pay, because when you get into civil service rules and you're doing another position, you have to be compensated for that. So if we do have them now assigned to do that, they're going to get an increase in pay anyway. But they're not going to be qualified still to know how to form policy, how to get a consensus. They may not know what best practices are. There's many things that they're unknown to. Now, if you have an aide that comes in, say if you have someone that's working on their graduate degree, and they're learning the process, but then they also understand forming policy, then as those council members come in, we have someone that's sitting there personally with them that can say, hey, this is what you're looking at. This is how you can get it done. And that would be easier and more cost-efficient for the city instead of having to send them out and educate them and bring them up to speed. They can come up to speed much quicker and have someone that can guide them through the leeway. Your next show is about Robert Rules of Order. If you have someone that understood that, that can help these council members, then we wouldn't have to waste time on TV where we're supposed to get work done watching our council members argue about procedures. They would have an understanding of that.
You know, you bring up a very important point, and as I'm listening to you talk about policy, I went to Thomas Edison College and received a certificate in public policy and public schools in 1986. When I got on the school board, I understood that policy assessment, development, and implementation was crucial if you want to be an effective policyholder or legislator. So what did I do? And I'm only using myself as a point of reference because it's relative to the conversation. My first 3 years on the school board, I tried to learn as much as I could about how the functions, the administration of education worked. So I went back to school. I went to New Jersey school boards. And in my 6 years on the Board of Education, I'm proud to say that I became the first certified board member, and I became the first master board member. And what that means is that I've acquired the knowledge of how the administration, how board governance work, the whole arena of education within the system of New Jersey. That led me as board president to, in the first time in our history of the Board of Education, we became board certified as a governing body. I think that the reason why I'm raising that level up, because now you bring up a new point. We're not asking our council people in our elected who are running for office, what are their policy positions? What do they plan to put in place to increase the quality of life? So that's a whole different dynamic, and I realize, too, as you just alluded to, it's lacking. They have no background in public policy. They have no understanding of how to enact law, how to assess current policy, how to develop new policy. And it's a shame that, as you mentioned, they run like they're running for an administrative position and they're running for a legislative position, and then we have to waste tax dollars on educating them on how to do their job. And, you know, I'm very disappointed in watching how the city council has unfolded over the past decade and a half, because governance is not their priority. Politics is. And we see that by their actions, by their lack of will to engage in policy. And I'll give you a very brief example that's very dear to me, is the death of Jameik Lowry. The city council did not know what to do at all. The public came down there and asked questions, and they stood silent for months. So what did I do? I put together and made it public the statutory statutes that govern the Faulkner Act and the roles and responsibility under that act on how the city council can engage in an investigative process, so they can get to the truth of what happened, and then they can introduce new ordinances or look at whatever's in place so this won't happen again. Well, they failed to do that. They failed to call the question. They failed to investigate the administration. And you don't need that. A legislative body, that's why we have three branches of government, to have the check and balance. But if the legislative body does not understand their role, they can't check the administration, nor are they going to have the ability to develop policy that's going to effectively impact our community. Conversely, because of their lack of policy assessment, development, and implementation, we see a poor quality of life in Patterson, and we see the city council reacting or not reacting to the whims of the public versus developing a plan, a strategy. So I'm glad that you're on my show today to share a perspective based on your educational knowledge, your professional knowledge, and your experience in public policy and in education and government, that you shed light on this conversation. Going back to the AIDS,
When you have good aides in place, and you can now have policy moving, you can have change in the city. Let's look at it now the way it is. It doesn't matter what mayor goes in, what good intentions they have. If you don't have a council that can pass necessary ordinances or even review the ones on the books to see what can be changed and what can be created, it doesn't matter what the administration may try. Because then what ends up happening, you have council people that jumps in to want to be the administrator, and they're going to give their input on every development program that goes on in the city. And then we have a lot of stalemate. We lost a lot of money in this city that was given to us by either the state or the federal government, and we gave it back because of, like you said, no plan.
You hit the nail on the head, and you bring up another interesting issue with the 2022 mayoral elections coming up. It's interesting that if you have an ineffective council, then maybe the city of Patterson in 2022 should consider a mayor that understands the legislative responsibility, the role of the legislative body, understands how to develop and assess policy where they can actually, that mayor can assist with that city council. But as we know, that's not the mayor's job. But as long as a mayor has an understanding and understand what he's working with, then, you know, hopefully policies can change to increase the quality of life. politics in Patterson is very, very funny, like it is, I guess, in most cities. You can see clearly when politics is being played between the administration and the city council, meaning how they play politics together for whatever ends or means that the city council wants and the mayor wants versus the public good. Now, people are starting to wake up to that. And I don't want there's too many examples for me to bring up, but people are starting to notice that, wait a second, the city council is playing politics with the mayor's playing politics with the city council for whatever they want to get done, whether it's approving a developer, whether it's naming a street that the council person wants to put up. They're playing politics with our residents, and it's not serving the public good. And
well,
we need to change that dynamic.
I agree with you on that, but there's one point I disagree. It's not the mayor's you did say it's not the mayor's job, and I don't think the mayor should take that role for many reasons and ethical reasons being sound. It's actually the role of the registered voters, and it doesn't start in 2022. It starts this year, actually. Because we have council races that are coming up in May. You can pick up someone's literature, and as I say, you can tell if they understand the position that they're running for. You can listen to them at the debate and understand if they know what they're running for. If everything starts this year, then when the mayoral race comes up 2 years from now and the at-large races come up 2 years from now, we'll have hopefully some competent council people and a few more either returning or coming back or coming onto the board at that point. And hopefully that board and the mayor, whoever wins at that point, will be able to move the city forward. It's going to take a team. There's three branches of government, and right now two of them are sort of dysfunctional as far as their working relationship.
I could not agree with you more. For those that are tuning into the show, this is Patterson on the Web. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and we're honored to have in the studio with us today Mallory Earle, who is going for his doctorate in higher education, undergrad and master's, is in public policy, urban education, urban studies. Mallory Earle is on the front line of these issues, not only educationally, but he lives the life that he speaks about. And we're proud to have you on the show. We have about a few minutes left. So what we need to do, and that's why we have this show as well, is to raise the level of consciousness of the registered voters in Patterson for them to consider what they should be looking for in a candidate, as we just spoke about now. What are some of the other things that you think that we should be looking for when we're exploring candidates to represent us in Patterson, especially with the 2020 council elections coming up?
Well, I think we need council members first that listen, because no matter what, you're going to have to learn from day one. And even if you become the longest serving mayor, a council person in Patterson, you're going to still learn from that day forward. You got to be willing to be flexible. No matter what agenda you go in with, you have to be able to play the game, and sometimes you have to give in order to get. So when you see someone who's campaigning on, say, three key issues, and those are three hot-button issues, and they don't have a plan on solving that issue, then it's more or less just a party flyer instead of a political campaign flyer.
You know, you bring up an extremely good point. And as I am a national political commentator and I have a national show, I've noticed that, and this should go for Patterson as well, what have individuals done in their private capacity to increase the quality of life prior to them running? What have you done? What are you doing now? And my point is, as I mentioned, my national radio show, is that I've noticed that a lot of candidates today running for Senate and Congress across the country are already engaged in doing things in their community as if they were a United States senator, as if they were a congressman. They're bringing jobs. They're bringing programs. As a private citizen, they're taking care of the homeless as a private citizen. And I think that we need to start looking at these people that want to run for office based on popularity versus substance. You know, we need to really look at what have you done? What are you doing? And as you just alluded to, it's great that we talk about problems, but that's what politicians do today. Is they talk about problems, but they're not talking about solutions. And you hit the nail on the head. That's what we should be looking for in a council candidate, is tell me your plans for the solutions. The community already knows what the problems are. We're living them every day. What are you going to do different to fix them, to help my life, my children's life, my family's life, my friend's life better in Patterson? That is the question, and I'm glad that you hit the nail on the head today, because in our future shows, we will be raising that issue. What have you done? What are you going to do different? How are you going to change the dynamic? Or how are you going to be better in that position versus what you're not doing now or what you're doing now? Like you said, how is that going to aid you in crafting policy for what you want to do? And these are very, very important issues, and it's important that we have these issues on the table and that we raise a level of consciousness. And that's why we're here at Patterson on the Web, is that we want to cut through the mainstream media, and we want to bring it right to you from the ground on what's going on and giving the residents of Patterson an alternative. These politicians in Patterson have taken advantage of the residents of Patterson, be it taxpayers, being our children, being the seniors, and also leaving out in the cold the homeless, the veterans, the mentally ill, the ones who have substance abuse problems. And those, if we're going to increase the quality of life, we have to address that, I believe, first. If we have any one person walking around the street that is not functioning, we have a responsibility as a society to offer them help, to help transition them back into society. If we're going to rebuild our communities, we need to create alternatives, whether it's recreational programs, whether it's inpatient programs, outpatient programs, for the mentally ill, for the homeless. We need to get our politicians in Patterson engaged, because the talking points around election time is always there, but as we see every day in the community in which we live, that the challenges have become greater and greater, and the feelings of the people, their wants and needs fall on deaf ears after they're elected until it's time for their re-election again, and then they make a bunch of promises, and we have to stop that.
Yes, we do. And I do want to say one thing before we go. You and many others know the work that I do in the community. I don't know how many families, how many children, how many young adults, older adults I've assisted, whether I've participated in feeding, clothing, or any other type of service. And here's the conservative side of me. Money isn't going to solve the problem. Just throwing money at a problem. We'll never solve it. If that was the issue, we would have won this so-called war on drugs with all the money that was thrown at it, or war on poverty with so much money that was thrown at it. It takes action. It takes having a plan. It takes commitment. It doesn't take just throwing money at it. And that's what we're lacking in Patterson, is an overall plan that everyone can get on board with and follow. We have a lot of chiefs, you know, Indians. Everybody have to have the glory for it. Politicians are as well. You see everybody want to get in the next picture. But there's many of us that do a lot of work that may never get into a picture, that may never receive an award. Even though the award may say unsung hero, it's usually someone that's been honored 3 or 4 times already, at least. So those unsung heroes need to get together, get on the right page, and help others understand this work that we all have to do. As you pointed out, it's society. We are society. And we have to get back to that and understand that. No politician has the power. No media outlet has the power. We have the power. We are the power.
We the people.
Yeah.
Mallory, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want your assistance, I know that you're also a political consultant, and I know that you also help people pro bono. How could people reach out to you if they want to contact you for speaking engagements or to have questions? What's the best way they can contact you?
Best way is to contact me through my email, which is MalloryEarl@ymail. That's MalloryEarl@ymail.com. Or you can even reach me at my cell, which is 973-870-8157. Politics is one domain that I dwell in. There's other arenas I deal in, legal issues, quite a few more. So if anybody needs any type of assistance, I do have an extensive network. And if I don't know the answer, I'm sure someone that I know should know the answer.
I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today and sharing your knowledge, experience, and expertise with the Pasadena residents. And I look forward to you coming on our show again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. This is Patterson on the Web. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We just had an exciting show with political strategist Mallory Earl talking about and addressing the challenges that we face in Patterson. And also, Mallory gave us some answers on what we need to look for in candidates for this upcoming election. He is an indispensable resource that we should be looking at in our community for help to rebuild our city again, to make it as great as it was again. Please join us on Facebook at Patterson on the Web or on Twitter at Patterson on Web. Please join us next week on the 29th for our next show at 4 o'clock p.m. Do Patterson City Council members know Robert's Rules of Orders? Please join us while we explore that issue and many others next week on our show at 4 o'clock. I want to thank all our Patterson residents for listening. God bless you all, and be safe. Until next time.